You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Today, we have an amazing, amazing plan for you. And over the next 3 weeks today and the next 2 weeks following, we are going to be talking about stories of change. We're highlighting just, you know, three people in our kingdom family who have been transformed by the power of Christ, which we all have, and we all have God stories. But when we begin to talk about our God stories, it releases something into the room. There's you know, the word says that it's the testimony of Jesus that's the spirit of prophecy. So when we release testimony, even if you don't feel like you're prophetic, when you testify as to what God has done in your life, it operates in the same manner as a prophetic word. It begins to shift the atmosphere. It begins to open hearts and open minds, and it allows people to come to the point of decision. And so that's really what we want to do. We want to introduce people to Jesus through our stories, and we're doing it here, but do you know you could do it out there every single day? I'm telling you, the harvest is now. It's not a someday. I'm telling you right now, the harvest is now, and you are the harvesters. I have limited capacity. You have limited capacity. But together, as we engage with what God is doing, just take one little step of faith and watch what God will do through you, even this week. Amen? So I want to ask Luke to come on up. Everybody say, Luke. Come on, give me a hand. No, come on up. How you doing, man?
Doing great.
How are you?
How are you doing?
How many people have never heard Luke speak before? Like anything, never like a word. Look at all, there's some people.
Come on, Bo.
So he's been working on his English all week.
Yeah.
And
some notes here.
Luke is, he's just an awesome, faithful man of God. And he walked into this place for the first time, was it 2 years ago? How long ago was that?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago. And day one, he came crashing to the altar. He didn't wait. He didn't say, let me think about it. Let me come back at another time. I still remember that day. I remember what you looked like. I remember your different hairstyle back then. Yeah, now he's a child of the 70s.
Because of who?
Yeah. Maybell cuts his hair now. So if you want to look like Luke, just go to Maybell's house in Brookline. She'll cut your hair too. If you have enough of it.
Good job!
I don't think my hair would do that anymore. It'd be weird. So we want to just hear a little bit about your story today. And we met this week and talked a little bit more about it. And I've known a lot of the pieces. But I know that, you know, a lot of you don't know, you know, what Luke has come out of and what he is walking into in even in greater measure in this time. And he's faithful, you know. He shows up, and you know, he comes to my house. Sometimes we have some of these guys and gals over my house, and you know, I'm done like around 9 or 10, and then these guys will hang out and talk in the street till like midnight. So finally, I was just like, you know what? Just go to the back patio, turn the fire table on. You can stay as long as you want, but I'm done. Just don't talk to me, you know. So it's like man cave time to isolate myself. I crave solitude, but these guys love hanging out, and it's just so awesome. And so let's just open in prayer real quick. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah.
Why don't you? No, I'm just kidding. I'll pray. So Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon this moment, your blessing upon your story of Luke's life right here, right now. Lord, would you give us clarity of thought? Lord, would you give us clarity in the message even that you want to speak through us this morning as we share stories of transformation, stories of change here today. And again, Jesus, I just can't stop saying it with you. Your kingdom come, your will be done in this place as it is now in heaven, so let it be here on earth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So Luke, I want you to just tell us about your life before Jesus. Where first of all, where are you from?
I'm originally from Turkey. I came here in 2019. So when I came here, I was 24. And I'm from Istanbul. I have lived in Istanbul for all those years, 24 years. And after that, I came here. Yeah.
And in Turkey, do they say Turkey, or do you have like your own, like, is that the American term? I actually don't know that. Or is Turkey, do you say some kind of crazy Turkish word for Turkey?
Turkey.
Turkey?
Yeah, Turkey.
And tell me your Turkish name.
Yücel, Yücel Yasin. Yücel Yasin Çebi, yeah.
You have to, well, I'm going to try, say it again.
Yücel.
Yücel. And your last name?
Yasin Çebi.
Okay, that's good enough. Yücel.
You got it.
No, it's good. It's good. I'm speaking in tongues right now. Hey! Okay.
That's the tricky part. When we pray, sometimes I pray Turkish, and people think like I'm praying in tongues, but it's Turkish.
Maybe we'll have you close in prayer today in Turkish. You know, if that were me, though, I'd get mischievous. I'd start, you know, asking the Lord for Reese's peanut butter cups and things like that in my native language. But tell us a little bit about your upbringing, how you were raised in Turkey, and what your life was like.
So while I was growing up, when I was in elementary school, middle school, I was usually going to the mosque. And it's kind of like mostly because of my family, because my mother was she was like a pastor of the neighborhood almost. Most of my neighbors, most of my friends, they were coming to our house to learn how to read Quran or to learn the topics in general about Islam. And I was always in the midst of like that, but I was also like in my heart also I wanted to go to the mosque, and because I was, as you know, also like I'm a quiet person, and when I go there, it's like you need to be quiet, and that like peaceful atmosphere that I wanted to go and like participate just by myself, and yeah.
And so you like to be quiet, and you like to go to the mosque because you like to be quiet, and then you came here. I mean, we're the quietest church in all of New England,
but,
with the quietest pastor in all of New England. So great. I told him I was going to make him laugh just to see how long it would take him to recover. So you were raised Islam. I mean, Turkey is a predominantly Islamic nation.
Yes.
And so what was the rhythm of life in the way that you approached, in the way that you were attempting to approach God through Islam?
So the way that I was approaching was, I was studying Quran mostly by myself and trying to sometimes memorize it. The memorizing started, my mother, she was, as she was teaching our neighbors, whenever she goes, I was going with her also. And they were reading same parts all the time because to read it well, yeah, like to improve their reading. And so the same part that I decided to read by myself. And I was like, I didn't have to look. I was like, I memorized it already because like I was hearing that all the time. And I was like, why not like memorizing the other parts also by myself? And that was one of my practice. And the other part was also like improving myself, like improving my reading Quran, and like adding different melody and listening to other people and how they read and trying to read like them, and trying to feel also, and also worshiping five times. There is like in Islam, you need to pray like worship five times in a day. So I was also trying to do that as well.
And so, when you say you're trying to feel, what does that mean?
It was actually mostly like musically for me, like because I loved music also back then, and I was trying to like feel the melody that the person reads, and I was kind of like trying to also read like them, like it was kind of mostly like that.
So, contrast that with your experience now, and you know, I don't want to get ahead to your transformation story yet, but you know, as we were talking this week, you talked about sort of the approaches in your life before, which much of it was out of obligation, and yes. Where you are now. And before, like you were saying, you were trying to feel.
Yes.
But now you experience God. Before, you were sort of trying to read come into this gaining of favor from God through performing obligations. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it was mostly the sometimes when I was going to the mosque and I was like, I was feeling peace because it was quiet. But sometimes it was like becoming like obligation that you need to do because to like to keep being Muslim. So sometimes it was like that, and sometimes the times that there was times I wasn't feeling worshiping, but I was feeling like I had to worship because my mother she was keep calling me. So, it was kind of like the motivation of that. I think the while I was going to mosque, because we weren't talking about his presence, the presence of the Lord, Holy Spirit, and it was kind of like somehow becoming like that, becoming like obligation that you need to do, and it, just like religious, that you need to do like five times in a day. Otherwise, there is like condemnation.
So what did you do five times a day?
Five times in a day, you go and you first stand up and bow and say some of the prayers, the Arabic prayers, that some of the people, they don't know also the meaning of that as well. Kind of like, to say that, just like to say that I worshipped, but you don't know the meaning of that. You don't know what you're saying. You're just standing, saying some words, and ending it. So, yeah. But like I was sometimes feeling peace, but sometimes like in other times that I was feeling, maybe sometimes like I was feeling. I was thinking about something else that was in my mind, and I was like, man, but I need to worship too. So I was like worshiping, but like in hurry. Like I need to do, like I need to worship, because like otherwise it's gonna be like I'm gonna go to hell. Or so yeah, it was kind of like that.
So talk about now, in 2019, you move from Turkey to the unknown, into the United States. And what caused you to move? And then begin to talk a little bit about your experience in some of the communities that you were involved in once you were here. But sort of like what actually was the catalyst that caused you to move here to the United States?
So I graduated in Turkey, got my bachelor's degree in chemical engineering, and I was thinking about. Oh, thank you so much, Jeremy. I was thinking about going to like outside of the Turkey and studying, continuing my education. Then at the third year of my education in chemical engineering in Turkey, I applied a green card lottery. And in my last year, I learned that I won that lottery. That was actually kind of like the reason that I came here. Also, like because of the education, I was first looking for the Europe because some of my relatives, they live in Austria. So I was planning to go there first, but after the green card, I was like, okay, it seems like this is the path for me. So, that, yeah.
And so where did you move to initially when you moved here to the United States?
First, I came to New Jersey.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. If you're from New Jersey, I apologize. I've lived there twice, but I'm not from there.
Yeah. So first I came there because of one of my friends from high school. He was living there and he told me, you can come and I can show you like basically how to live here, like the basic things. And he showed me those things and after that I just ran away.
Yeah. And so you came to the United States, and you're still basically practicing Islam because it's what you've always known.
Yes, yes.
And but then you began to, maybe not as much as some of your friends, but you began to explore other paths as well. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. So when I first came, while I was in New Jersey, I somehow became roommates with one of my friends who was also here, Tov Jevher. So I became roommate with his brother. Then one of the time that his brother was talking on the phone with Jevher, and so I got to meet with Jevher on the phone, and Jevher was telling me that you are searching for masters for school, and you can come here to Boston to look for the school. And they had one room in their house that was empty. And so that's how I came here to Boston. And then I was roommates with Jevher for a year. Then after we became roommates also with my another friend, who is here, Mustafa. Mustafa, Toh, and Jevher, we became roommates. And we were like always sharing something like deeper. Like we didn't name it, but we were sharing something deeper. And I think that's kind of like how started my almost like my searching. It was also like I was feeling that it actually started while I was going to mosque. Yeah. Because I was like searching for that like quiet place that's in my heart. And but when I came here, I met with Toh and Mustafa, and we like all started like searching, and that was the kind of the starting like point, maybe like that, as I clearly remember.
And this is, I think, the fascinating part of your story is that we can see the hand of Jesus on your life, even as a boy. Yeah. And how the Lord was using things that we might not think that he would use to begin even to fashion your heart for who you are today.
Yeah.
And so even in the midst of your pursuit of God through the kind of the, we'll call it the channel or the stream of Islam, you know, Jesus is standing there with you and he's already whispering. He's already guiding you. He's already using these elements to even fashion your character, to fashion you into faithfulness, even though it was done out of obligation, right, instead of out of, you know, a gratitude response. And then you came and you read a book. You told me you read a book that I would probably not recommend anybody reads, but it's fascinating that God will use anything to begin to whisper into the heart of people. And sometimes in our, you know, we kind of pride ourselves in a sense of being not religious. And sometimes that being non-religious becomes our own religious spirit in a sense. But you know, sometimes we shun things that God has actually used to draw people without recognizing that he could do anything. He can step into any space. He could step into anywhere and call someone out and transform them and literally give them the spirit of adoption. And so, I don't remember the name of the book, and you know, I'm not recommending anybody read it, but tell me about how that God used that to begin to open your mind that, you know, maybe there's something else here.
Yeah, so since we started sharing our, like, inner life with, like, all together, like, especially I was sharing a lot with Jevhar, with Toh, and so he suggested me to read a book that is called The Power of Now from Eckhart Tolle. And so I didn't start reading it right away when he suggested me. But when there was a time that I went to Turkey and I was like stuck in Turkey because of the political reasons. And but so I couldn't come here, but I had life here. So like friends in here. So I was like thinking about like, am I gonna able to go back? What's gonna happen? Like, is this gonna, like, how is this gonna resolve, like, this situation?
And so you went back to Turkey.
Yes.
And you were detained.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure people understand.
Yeah.
It was, he was detained and was not sure how this was gonna turn out. It was about 3 days, right?
Yeah. So, in that time, actually, I was, like, somehow the voice that inside of me said to me, like, it might be a good time to read that book. Maybe you need to start that. And I started it, and I was...
Wait, so you started it when basically you were in prison?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I didn't start that, but was like, while I was there, I was thinking, like, I wish I could have that book with me. I would start right away. But while I was out of there, I was like, okay, right now it's really, like, the time for the start. And I started it, and I was, like, it showed me to, like, I was reading, like, how, like, his perspective about the difficulty in your life, like, about the emotions. And he was talking about that those things that are around you or feelings and emotions, it's not you. There is like something deeper, like inside, like there's like some quiet place inside of you. And with that perspective, it really like I remember also one part from the book that he was talking about the not focusing on the objects in the room, but to the space. Because the room stands because of the space, actually, not because of the objects mainly, but because of the space. And when I heard that, I was like, "Oh, this is like totally different perspective," and it like really like opened me that way. And I wanted to search more like, after that, like because I was it kind of like really helped me in that way.
So what actually started to stir your heart to move toward Jesus? Mm. What was that transition in your life like? Mm.
So I can say definitely this book that I have read, and because of the that perspective that he gave me, actually he himself, God himself was speaking to me from through that book. And I can say that and also we continued sharing with Toh still. And I remember one time that he started reading me from Bible, but I didn't know that he was reading from the Bible at that time. And I was like, okay, let's listen what's gonna turn out. And he started reading me from this part from Bible that I want to read to you, John 15, 15 to 17. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. It's... So I heard this and I didn't know also it was from Bible, and I felt like this is, like, this can't be real almost. Like, it felt like really love was pouring out from the text, and I didn't feel like something like that before. And it seemed like I was trying to also make it sense in my mind that there is like someone that who has authority, it seems, because he is calling the people servants, and he is laying it down, laying his authority down because of love. And I was, what kind of love is that? Just you can lay it down, your authority, because of love, and because of that relationship that you have with the others. And it was, so I read it and I was, this can't be true. Like, this is too good to be, like, so good to be true for, like, to be in this world, you know?
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. So, how did you end up here? 2 years ago, you come walking in on a Sunday morning.
My friend Tove Jevher, he was meeting with Maybell sometimes, and he was telling me about her, and so I also wanted to meet with her, of course, and then she invited me to the bridge and to meet with her. Then I came, and everybody was like you all were so welcoming, and that I felt when I stepped in, I just felt the love, the peace that just like surrounded all over the place, and I didn't feel like any pressure or something that you are in, you are out. I didn't feel anything like that also. I just feel like accepted. And that was so beautiful. And also, I felt that deeply when I met with Maybell. She hugged me once. I was like, what is this feeling? And I wanted to hug once more. And she was like, what about once more? And we hugged once more, and it went on like that. And I was like really like amazed, like with the love that I felt from her, from all of you, and so grateful for that.
I think a lot of people that have encountered Maybell have said, "What is this? what is this thing I'm feeling? Why is there water being poured over my head right now?" Oh, it's amazing. And so you came here. And you met Maybell. I don't remember what I spoke on that day. I assume I did. I think I spoke that day.
Yes. You spoke about the rejoicing in the Lord always. Philippians 4.
How many of you remember what I spoke on 2 years ago?
And it that concept, like actually, like coming here, it was really like new for me, because I haven't been in a church before while there was like service happening, and so there was like worship here, and everything was so new, and Jeremy was playing with Christian, and with who else was playing? Christian, you and
and the band.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't remember the other name, but there were like three of them and played a song, Love Came Down and Rescued Me. Then I was like, I was listening to that service from the internet this week, and I was like, that's what happened to me, actually. Love came down and rescued me. That is, that was my experience. That was like, I felt that his love came down, rescued me, and his love became flesh, and came so close to me as like my brother, as like in flesh, in just like me, and just like my relative, just I can say like my cousin or my, like that close that I can almost like track him and find him from my family. And that's,
That's so awesome. I mean, and you were having that experience before we had an altar call, or before we call them altar calls, where we invite people forward to receive prayer. You know, some of the language we use, you know, people are like, what's that? You know, so we always want to pray for people every week, but you're having this experience just in the midst of worship, in the midst of the word, and it's all of these points in your life were pointing you to this moment where then we do open up the altar space, and I remember you came forward pretty much right away.
Yes.
And what was that like for you?
So the experience I had that time, that like it was ineffable. Like I wasn't like I'm not able to describe that experience. But what I actually saw myself like coming just from here, from the video that I watched this week. And I was just looking to myself and just going into the same moment. And I just saw myself that like seeking him and just closing my eyes and seeking him. Maybe I didn't know what it was, but I was like seeking that like pure love, because I was feeling like such pure love in here, and that like, so I was seeking that. And but the beauty of our God is like, he was also seeking me before that moment. He was after me, actually, and he was like pulling me from like over there. And I didn't know maybe why I was going forward, but I wanted to step in completely what I was feeling, that pure love that I wanted to, I was feeling like there is nothing that can harm me in this love. And I just wanted to experience more and step in more. And so I can't describe what I felt, what it was like for me, but like I can say that like I started also holding his hand at that moment, and just starting walking with him. That was the moment.
Wow, that is so incredible. That is so incredible. And what began to shift in your life then after you said yes to Jesus? You're giving your heart to him in ways that you probably didn't even completely understand in the moment, but you just wanted to step into his love. So what has life been like on the other side of your yes?
Yeah. So first he gave me identity, like becoming son of God. And it was like being God that close, just being his son, that I can call him father, and I can have that love, and I can track also his love that maybe through my family that I have, the love that whatever I see, wherever like pure, that pure love, wherever it is, I can just like track that love and find him. And so that's that was the first thing, definitely, that I felt like taking that identity as the son of God. And also he really, after his gift of Holy Spirit, when I started reading Bible, I was like, what is this thing that I can almost like, that word that I'm reading, like coming like inside of me and living inside of me and living around me, that word is Jesus, that is like teaching his word, his own word, that like his like awesome teacher that is like teaching his own word like gently and patiently with peace, with love. And he was, that was totally that, it was like a shift, because while I was reading, I don't want to compare, but while I was reading Quran, I was mostly reading Arabic and I wasn't feeling anything. And but when Jesus came, he opened that, like, even those texts are like so old, he was like, those times are still here in like eternity, and I'm gonna bring you there, and I'm gonna teach you by myself. And I was, yeah, like it's so beautiful.
<That's> amazing. Now, you know, there's people in the room here, and there's people watching live, and there are people that'll watch this video at any given point in time in the coming weeks, months, or even years, and people that watch from different nations. And they're hearing your story. And I believe there's people watching that have never said yes to Jesus. They've heard about Christianity, or they've heard, you know, what the news says about the church, or, you know, media, but they've never encountered Jesus the way that you're talking about him. And if you could speak to someone watching, whether they're here today or whatever, who's struggling to believe what you're saying, to believe what you've experienced, what would you say to them?
I would say, my friend, my beautiful hearted friend, that I wanna say to you that if you feel like you have only like tiny room that you have in your heart, that is just like only one more person, that I want to say to you, just invite just that person be God himself, and let him come to your heart. And after that, he will expand your heart the way that you can't imagine, that he will expand your heart. And not only that, but with his love that you have in your heart, that it's gonna shine, his love is gonna shine through everywhere, to everywhere you look. And let him come to your heart.
Whew. I could feel it when you say that. Whew. This life that you see here now, transformed by the love of Jesus, truly happened. I mean, we've talked about the journey, the 28-year journey that led you to stand right over there, and how God used all of these scenarios and situations to call Luke. Mm. And interesting, after you received Jesus, you'd legally change your name.
Yeah.
Like, so on your license it says Luke, and Tov legally changed his name to Tov, which is the Hebrew word for good. And when you say God is good, God is Tov. He lives in San Diego right now. It's nice down there, I gotta confess, but I'm happy you're here in New England. And but this really happened, you know, if I could trace it back to a thing, it's because one crazy lady sat in a coffee shop and put her hand on the belly of a young man sitting next to her and said, "Obey." Now, I'm not going to ask Maybell to do the Maybell School of Evangelism. If you too go to a coffee shop and you just see a young man sitting next to you, put your hand on the belly and say, "Obey," and see what happens. Then read him the four spiritual laws or the Romans wrote, you know, I don't know. But in that moment, she heard and she obeyed. And from that space unfurled salvation after salvation after salvation. Because the harvest is now. And I'm looking around, I'm seeing, you know, people, you know, most of y'all been here for a while. Like, you've been in this thing. And then, you know, I look at, here's what I see. Like, when I see empty seats, those are people in this region that are dying to a Christless eternity. And so when we leave this space, we have to ask ourselves the question, who have I shared him with today? Who have I shared him with this week? You know, I'll be going to South Africa next month, and Kelly Koski has been in that land for 40 years. And I don't think there's ever been a day that I've been with him that he hasn't wept for the lost. And I mean that. It's not hyperbole. Literally, especially when we're there, every morning he wakes up and he prays and he weeps for the lost. Years ago, I had someone tell me, you know, "Well, I just like small church. I like small churches. It's intimate. It's close. You get to..." And the first thing I thought and said was, what you're telling me is you don't love your city. I get that we like our small little groups and this and that. You know, I'm not saying that you necessarily, but when you have a vision for your city, smallness isn't an option anymore. Addition to multiplication is the only driver for how we pursue the kingdom. Because there are people in your sphere right now that are waiting for the invitation that we've withheld. The people in your workplace, there's people in your neighborhoods, people at the soccer games or the football games. I'm telling you, even the hardest faces, those are the ones I love to go after. Because usually when that hardness comes under redemption, it translates to such a dogged determination and faithfulness. The things that we look in the world that, you know, we say, "Oh, that's bad. Like, we see the generations, you know, the protests and, you know, all the stuff going on that, you know, I don't know if it would block my traffic on the way to work too. I'd be cranky. You guys know how I get cranky when I drive. But it's a generation that's looking for purpose, that's looking for identity. And they're waiting for the invitation to something real. And the invitation is in your heart. And there's an endless supply. You can just keep mailing that invitation out of your heart. And you too will see this come into fruition in your own life. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Just one little tiny thing. But you have to say it on the microphone because people are watching.
So this man, he's 30 years old. On every Friday night, he comes to my house. I'm an 80-year-old woman. It boggles my mind that a 30-year-old man who's beautiful would want to spend time with an 80-year-old lady. So that's part of the testimony.
Because he's hungry for more.
I'm also like amazed that you want to spend your time with me as well.
Yeah, yeah. Do you kick him out at 10 like I do?
I try, but we usually end up, I tell him we gotta go. He says, "One more song, one more
prayer." She said, she tries to kick him out at 10, but then he's like, "One more song, one more prayer, one more." Yeah, I just kick him out. You know? Especially if Jared's there, it's easy. You know, they can go out and they can do one more song outside on the patio at the fire table. So what's the ask today? The ask for each one of us is to give Jesus our yes. But what does the yes mean? I was meeting with a pastor of pretty close to a mega church this week. And we were talking about grace. And I've said something that I've said often. Where grace is given, responsibility is assumed. And you can track this all through the scripture. There's a responsibility on your shoulder when you come in to Jesus. And the challenge, even on my life, that the Lord kind of laid down also in an encounter that I had standing right there 2 years ago in November. So are you ready to pick up the responsibility? The things that you left behind, that's me. Things that I left behind 5 years ago or 10 years ago, are you ready to pick it up? It's not about, you know, sometimes we talk about mantles or, you know, I get all of that. I mean, I've mixed emotions on the usage of the term, but it's really about picking up responsibility. Because the mantle is the cross. That's what Jesus said to take up daily. That means there's elements of our lives that we have to set aside for his purpose to be fulfilled in us each day. And so we're going to open up the altar space this morning. And when we do, we always pray for healing. We always pray for breakthrough. But today especially, I want each one of us to give him our yes. I love palm trees. I love warm weather. There are days that I wish I lived on a beach somewhere. But my heart bursts for New England. There's no place I would rather do what we're doing than right here, right now. And there is such an openness that I believe there's never been a time in your life where you had a greater ability to see what God can do through you. And this is that time. This is the time for your heart to bleed, for your heart to weep over the lost in this region, over the broken, the abused, the left behind. And so I'm even going to ask Luke to pray. I was praying yesterday, and so I'm going to ask you to just stand up with our ministry team. We'll have people with you, but to pray for people that want to receive this impartation of love, but also the impartation of purpose that flows from identity.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.